All right. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the meeting of the Herring River Executive Council. It is March 16th, 2023. My name is Carol Ridley, Project Coordinator, and I would welcome the members of the Executive Council to introduce themselves, please.
Janet Reinhardt from Wellfleet.
Helen Miranda Wilson, also from Wellfleet.
Deborah Freeman from Wellfleet.
Jeff Sanders, Chief of Natural Resource Management and Science at Cape Cod National Seashore.
Ryan Carlstrom, Superintendent at Cape Cod National Seashore. And still covering another base for about another month, Carol. And then I'll be
all there. Right. Great. Well, I know you're busy with a lot on the plate right now. Brian, thank you for being here this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Let me just share screen here for a second. All right. Can everyone see this slideshow?
Yes.
All right. Let me just start.
Oh, Helen, yes. No.
Still? All right. Great. So just quickly, a run through of the agenda. We have minutes of December 15th. We'll go through some project updates, then open it up for members' announcements and public comment. So let us start with the minutes of December 15th. Those were included in the packet for this afternoon. Those can be approved by consensus, if you wish, or by vote.
I move to approve the minutes of December 15th, 2022 by consensus.
Second.
Okay, so it looks like we have two members on board with that.
So we have to vote on it.
Well, I think it was a motion, but I think the intent, if I'm not mistaken, Janet, is to approve by consensus. So I don't know that a motion is actually needed other than to say,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Approved.
Okay. So I have 3-4. Debbie, did you have your hand raised or was that a question?
Helen, no, yes. Approved.
Helen, okay. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like everyone's on board with the approval of the minutes from December.
By consensus.
Consensus. Thank you. All right. Very good. Let's move on to project updates. And let's start with some very exciting updates on construction activity with the Chuquesset Neck Road Bridge. So this is the first and largest infrastructure element in phase one of the restoration of Herring River. And a portion of the existing dike on Chuquesset Neck Road will be replaced with a bridge that will be outfitted with tide gates and sluice gates and various panels that can be manipulated to control the amount of tidal flow into the estuary. And also a number of water access improvements, which are accessible to, which are ADA compliant. So to enhance water access and enjoyment of the resource area. And we don't have a presentation of the details of this. You've seen it many times before, but just to give those who are listening that quick description. And so in the past couple of months, there's been a lot of activity gearing up to launch the construction phase. The town of Wellfleet has engaged MIG Corporation as the contractor for this work. That was the result of a competitive bid process, and MIG Corporation, based in Acton, Mass, was selected as the qualified low bidder on that bid competition. So over the past months, there's been a process of contracting that's been finalized, and the contractor's been working very diligently to maintain schedule and move the construction process forward. So a number of things have been happening. We'll get to those in a moment, but let me first also note that other contracts are have been engaged by the town, and one is pending for additional construction management support so that the town DPW will not only have a qualified contractor, but will also have an owner's project representative that is Environmental Partners, also selected through a competitive RFP process, request for proposals process. And I don't know if anyone from Environmental Partners is here today. Is Wes here today? Didn't see him earlier on the list of attendees. Okay, perhaps not. But Environmental Partners is working very closely with the town DPW, with the contractor, with the design engineer Fussin O'Neill, and also with our Herring River technical team, sort of as a go-between all of those various parties to be sort of the eyes and ears on the ground for the DPW on behalf of the town's interests in the construction projects to make sure everything's happening on schedule and according to plans. That's also a big responsibility of the design engineer, Fussin O'Neill. So Fussin O'Neill is the engineering firm that designed the bridge structure. They are also, this is a pending contract, but they are in the process of working with the town to be designated the design engineer. So they're also involved on a day-to-day basis, working with the contractor to answer questions about the design plans, work out any kinks that may arise or issues that may arise through the construction process. And anyone who's familiar with construction knows that things always do arise. And also work closely with the owner's project representative and the Herring River technical team. So it's a great, very experienced, knowledgeable group of contractors working with the town and the technical team as construction gets off the ground. And so you may have noticed over the past several weeks or so, there's been quite a bit of activity happening at the dike area. That's going to be increasing over the next several weeks and months. Essentially, the first step in the process has been the clearing and preparation of a staging area, which is located right adjacent to Duck Harbor Road, which is that dirt road, that the fire road that's runs parallel to the river. And that staging area, we understand, has just about been prepared and completed. So it's ready to, I think it already is, receiving some materials that are going to be used in the subsequent stages of construction activity. And also there is some large equipment being delivered to the site that's preparing for the installation of some sheeting that's needed to provide some stability to the substrate where that equipment is going to be operating. And ultimately, will be used in the water to create a, not exactly a dry area, but a contained area within which there'll be some excavation and installation of stone armor that's needed for bridge abutments located upstream. So these are all phases of construction that are all spelled out in the design plans and are underway. So it's very, very exciting to see this work getting started. We've been working very, very, when I say we, the technical team has been working very closely with the construction management team to ensure that there's been compliance with all of the requirements for natural resource protection, and in particular, things like protection of turtles. That's a requirement of natural heritage. There's actually a turtle protection plan that's being implemented. So you might notice if you've been by the site, there is silt fencing that's installed in a particular way that actually is doubling not only as erosion control, but also as a turtle barrier to keep turtles from moving into the construction area where the equipment is going to be moving and various pieces of materials will be stored. So we've been working closely with the team on that. The other major work focus has been on the design of the temporary bridge that will provide ongoing auto traffic, pedestrian access throughout the construction period. It's going to be a signalized bridge that's going to allow passage in both directions. And that is designed, its substructure is being designed by Fussin O'Neill per requirements of Massachusetts Department of Transportation. So the substructure of that temporary bridge is being designed by the design engineer for the permanent structure. And then the contractor is responsible for the superstructure of that temporary bridge. So again, a very thorough, careful review, not only by Massachusetts DOT, but also our funders are taking a careful look at design plans as well, Natural Resource Conservation Service has an extensive technical team that reviews all plans that are funded by NRCS, the Natural Resource Conservation Service, that's based in Fort Worth. So they are also reviewing these plans. So very thorough regulatory oversight as well as technical oversight as these measures move forward toward construction. I have here noted at the bottom of the page an email address, herringriver@envpartners.com. And if anyone has a question about the construction process, something they see, or just a question they want to raise, they can use that email address, and Environmental Partners will receive those questions and answer the ones that they are in a position to answer and refer those to others if they are not in a position to answer those questions. So certainly we want to make sure that there is a good communication flow between the project and townsfolk and people who are using that area, live in that area, work in that area, are vacationing or are there seasonally. We want to make sure that you know, there are opportunities for exchange and we hear comments and questions as they arise. The Friends of Herring River is working on a new website that also will be a place where real-time information is going to be posted. I believe that's slated to be ready later this month. So again, we want to make sure that there's a lot of opportunity for public engagement and information on this during this process. And just to remind everyone of the sort of big picture construction timeline for this project, we hope that later this spring, or anticipate later this spring and into the summer months, the construction of this temporary bypass will begin. And that should be prepared and ready for use so that the remainder of the permanent structure can be constructed, which will begin with the southern portion. And then once that is complete, the northern portion. And once that is complete, the kind of the top level improvements, the superstructure of the bridge would be constructed following. So that's roughly the timeline. And, you know, I think things are pretty close to being on schedule right now. We did get started just a tad later than we had hoped, but the weather's been cooperating and we have a very efficient and experienced contractor in MIG. So things are moving very, very well.
Carol, I have my
yes.
hand up.
Hi. Oh,
quick question sure. about the preview page. So this is a minor detail. What was described here, you know, summer 2024, 2025, mentions the Duck Harbor Road water access facility, which has got quite a lot going on, as we know. But on the other side, as you may remember, there's also a modest access that goes to that side of the river. And my memory is that was this discussed or actually decided on? I think it was decided on that there would be some stairs, a break in the guardrail there so that people could access that side of the river. Is it simply that this is about the big, big things and that isn't included? Because if there are stairs there, that's, you know, something.
Right. So just, I don't know, can everyone see my cursor here? This is the Duck Harbor Road Water Access Facility. Basically, this is a parking area, and then there's going to be a walkway down to the water. And then I think what you're referring to, Helen, is over on this side, steps on this side.
I'm not seeing your cursor, but it's
okay.
The much discussed. It gets okay. brought up pretty often by me because the Shellfish Committee many years ago said, this is, we definitely want to be able to, you know, go up that side of the river for harvesting in the wild if it's opened. And so where is that? I'm not seeing a cursor.
Okay. Well, I will. So you are correct that this anticipated timeline is really kind of a very high level description of the elements. So I can look into, I mean, I think that that would be part of the, to the extent that that's built into the design, it would be part of the superstructure, and it would be, you know, among the last pieces that would be completed. But I can look into that, Helen, and get back to you.
Yeah, well, don't get back to me. Please get back to all of us. You know, the stairs are not part of the actual structure of the road. You know, there's a pretty steep embankment there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's keep that in mind. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Helen. Any other questions before I move on? Okay. All right. So just a quick couple of other updates on other project elements. So as I noted, the bridge, of course, is the largest, the first and largest of the phase one construction elements, but there are other measures in the works, not quite as far along, but making good progress. And several other project elements are now in the final design phase. So all of these elements have been permitted. So when we went through environmental permitting for phase one, it included the construction of all of these different elements: the Mill Creek water control structure, the elevation of low roads, and the installation of some larger culverts, the removal of the High Toss Road causeway that crosses the marsh to reestablish tidal flow, and then the elevation of a portion of High Toss Road, roughly from Way 672 to Hopkins Drive, and then property impact prevention on a couple of properties on Way 672, the Chiquessa Golf Club, and also one other property up in the Bound Brook Island Road area. So those elements are all permitted. They are now in the final design phase, and we are working with various contractors. And in fact, I'll maybe ask Brian to maybe speak to the Mill Creek structure, because that final design process is actually being managed by the National Park Service. But these, it is estimated that these final design plans will be completed, you know, this spring or early summer, and could be potentially ready for public bidding in that general time frame. So, for example, the low roads elevation and the culverts, and some of the property impact prevention and the High Toss Road causeway, those are all slated currently to be going out to bid, by the end of this calendar year. So that could, construction of those elements could begin, if not later this year, then very early in 2024. So again, this is the current schedule. We are going to do everything we can to stick to that, and we'll just keep you posted as we progress. But that's our working timeline. And Brian, is there anything more you would, or Jeff, you would like to say about the Mill Creek water control structure?
Yeah, I'll defer to Jeff on that right now.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. So we've been having a lot of conversations about this and about the funding as well as the contracting timeline. And at this point, we are optimistic and we're moving forward and hope to have this have the bid out this year, this spring, this summer, have it contracted before the end of the fiscal year, and construction hopefully starting in early fiscal year 24. So thinking like November, December timeline.
So that would be the federal fiscal year. So construction in November, December, and bidding by the end of September.
Yeah, a contract in place by the end of September, right? And then optimistically, I guess, depending on what they can, they'll start probably with the access road for the structure, which has to be done in between November and basically March because of restrictions for endangered species. Mm-hmm. So the hope would be that they would get that started and then be able to work on the remainder of the project following the construction of the road.
Well, thank you, Jeff, for that perfect segue to the next bulleted item here, which is the annual town meeting warrant article because it has to do with the access road for the Mill Creek water control structure. So the access road is off of Old Chequesset Road, and there is a space of, I want to say, is it 50 feet maybe of roadway, maybe not even, that between Old Chequesset Road and the boundary of the Cape Cod National Seashore. And it goes across a portion of land that is within a town right-of-way that's established already by town meeting. However, there's another small piece of that distance that is outside of the town right-of-way and crosses over a piece of land owned by the Wellfleet Conservation Trust. And if you are a regular viewer of select board meetings, you might have noted a week or so ago, the select board voted to put a warrant article on the annual town meeting warrant that would authorize the town to accept an easement for the construction and the maintenance of that access road across that very small portion. And I do mean small, it's a very small piece of land. It's in the, you know, 100 or so square foot range. It's very small, but nevertheless, it is land that is owned by the Wellfleet Conservation Trust and an easement is needed. So the town would have the authority, if town meeting grants it, to accept this easement to allow the access road to be built across that small piece of land. The understanding is that the access road would actually be constructed and used and maintained by the seashore. And that would be handled under a separate license agreement between the town of Wellfleet and the Cape Cod National Seashore. So when folks see that on the warrant this spring, that's a very important measure that would need to be in place in order to keep on that timeline that Jeff was just describing to be able to build that access road, you know, in this calendar year. And I don't know, Jeff or Brian, if there's any more you want to add about that.
No, I think you covered it.
Yeah, I think you described it very well, Carol. It's a small piece of land that's highly complex.
Right.
Working through it. Yep. And okay. Thanks to the town for all the support on making it happen.
And the trust as well.
So of course the trust.
Yeah, they've been really incredibly helpful, not only with that initiative, but also they have been very generous with their time in terms of working out some documents and details for a match commitment for a grant, which we'll talk about in just about a minute. So that's a quick update on some other project elements. And then if I can advance the slides here, just, and we're gonna get to the vegetation management and some of the exciting marsh work that's happening too, but I'm gonna at that point hand it over to others to maybe describe that. I just wanted to first give you all just a quick overview and update of the significant progress on fundraising and grants management, which obviously is a key component of this project and necessary for it to proceed on time and you know, in the manner that's been proposed. As you know, the town entered into a couple of grant agreements over the summer months that total close to $50 million with USDA Natural Resource Conservation Service, of course, USDA being the U.S. Department of Agriculture, for $27.2 million, and then with Massachusetts Division of Ecological Restoration for $22,670,000. So that was really the impetus that was needed to allow the town to proceed with the bidding that we just talked about and get that construction process underway for the bridge project, which is about $31 million of this total. So there's also pending, and we hope to hear officially very, very soon, although we're very, very very optimistic about this outcome, is the a grant from NOAA of $14,690,000 from their Transformational Habitat Grant Program. And that grant, you know, if it's announced and received by the town, which we are hopeful and optimistic, will complete the funding that is needed for all of the infrastructure on town property. So it's a very significant piece of the puzzle. They're all significant, but that's that sort of that last piece, and really, you know, gives the full picture to proceed with the bidding of those other elements we just spoke about a minute ago: the elevation of the low roads, High Toss Road, Wasik 72, etc. The funding for the Mill Creek water control structure is also very promising at the moment. Natural Resource Conservation Service is potentially a funding source for that through a subsequent year allotment that would be between the seashore or the Park Service and NRCS directly, not the town, because the Mill Creek water control structure, as you may recall, is on federal land. So that piece is on a parallel funding track, but also very, very looking very favorable at the moment from either NRCS and or I know the park is pursuing other internal funding sources as well as the National Park Foundation. So again, Brian or Jeff, if you wanted to chime, if there's anything I overlooked on that, please let me know and add that.
Go ahead, Brian.
Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I'll just add that, you know, as we've been talking with NRCS a lot. It looks like we're moving forward. They're going to put their request in very soon and include Mill Creek in that request. So that's very positive. We've also heard very positive news from the National Park Foundation about the amount of support they're going to be able to provide for this. So, and we're actively in the process of requesting those funds from National Park Foundation now, which would go towards the non-federal match requirement for the NRCS monies.
Excellent. So a lot of pieces of funding coming together. It's kind of a big puzzle, but the pieces are fitting together nicely and looking like are likely to be in place or very well could be in place in time to keep everything on schedule. So very pleased about that. And then there are other significant funds that have been acquired to undertake the vegetation and marsh management work through the National Park Service and National Park Foundation, which has provided funding for vegetation clearing, as well as the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service National North Atlantic Wetlands Conservation Act grant program, or NACA, as we often refer to it, which is a $2 million grant that actually Ducks Unlimited wrote that grant on behalf of the project, and they are helping us to administer that. And that work is happening on park property. And we're gonna talk about that in just a minute, get a quick update on the vegetation clearing. But before I hand that over, I do wanna just make a note about grant administration and reporting, because there, you know, are questions from time to time about, you know, these are large grants, just as we have, you know, the support, the town is acquiring support that is grant funded support, I should add. The owner's project representative, the design engineer, who are the experts helping the town with the oversight of the construction of the bridge. Those are grant funded contracts. So those are coming out of funding from NRCS and from Massachusetts Division of Ecological Restoration and hopefully soon NOAA. At the same time, the town has been assembling kind of a team to support the grant administration and reporting. And the funding partners have been really super helpful in helping us understand the different, you know, requirements associated with the grants and reporting requirements and so forth. And are just real, really partners in this, working with the town to get that sort of administrative infrastructure up and running. The town is has identified some consulting services, some experts in financial accounting and municipal accounting that are available to help in this process as well. And the owner's project representative, Environmental Partners, is also involved. So it's really a great collaborative team that is ensuring that, you know, the right sort of administrative infrastructure is in place and reporting requirements and all that is being met. So I just wanted to note because, you know, these are multiple grants of large size, but all of that is coming together. And that's another important part of the overall project management.
Yeah, and Carol, if I might add, there's very robust systems in place with any of the grants coming through the National Park Foundation as well. And for those that aren't aware, the National Park Foundation is the official philanthropic partner for the Park Service, specifically legislatively established to do exactly what they're doing for this project, to support it in ways that the Park Service can't. So that's there's an equal level of accountability and visibility on anything that they're doing and the potential donors that we're pursuing with their collaboration.
Great, thank you, Brian. Good point. And I do want to note the contributions of Ducks Unlimited and Wellfleet Conservation Trust, who helped to make that NACA grant possible. And that is really underwriting a big chunk of the vegetation management work that's getting underway. So with that, I would like to invite, I'm not sure if Tim is here or Jeff, or maybe I saw Katie Castagno here, and a number of folks who are involved in the vegetation work in Duck Harbor. Tim, can I turn it over to you, and maybe you can bring in other team members if you wish to give us an overview of the status? You're in the field, so I'm...
No, it's okay. Okay. I'll do it. If I can share my screen.
Please do.
And if folks don't mind, I'm going to have to go back and forth between a couple of different screens here. Oh, I'm very dark. Sorry about that. I'm in a dark room. I'll share my screen so I'm, you know, have to deal with this. So by way of talking about Duck Harbor and looking at what's going on there, I'm going to... I'm going to showcase something from our new Cape Cod website. So this is a video of flooding at Duck Harbor taken by our wonderful science communication intern, Christine Venduska. This is on National Seashore website. So this is just kind of some background. I know I've shown pictures and talked about this before, but I think this is a little bit more illustrative of what's going on there. I'm not sure of the actual dates. This was sometime back, probably last fall, when this was taken during one of the overwash events. There's music over this, which I don't have turned on now to be professional here, but you can watch this on your own on our website. Gives a really good overview of what's going on. There's a common loon in this picture, which is very exciting. If you're a birder, you can see it pop up there. There's a whole bunch of revisions to our website on natural resources, particularly the Heron River page. This is one of the highlights of it. So I just wanted to show that. It's a good lead in to talk about Duck Harbor. So this, what you see here, has been happening at least once a month, almost every month, not quite every month of the year, but I'd say somewhere 8 to 10 months per year, at least one of the high tide periods, flooding of this nature is occurring. And I'm sure everyone has noticed the effect on vegetation and the dieback of the vegetation, starting last summer and persisting to this summer. So it was particularly the last summer observing recruitment of salt marsh vegetation coming in the understory of all the dead trees that gave us the idea that it would be a good idea to remove this vegetation for a number of reasons, one of which is going to fall down anyway And then we'd have large fallen over trees, very large chunks of debris floating around. And second, to kind of try to promote the understory of salt marsh vegetation that began to naturally come back. So as Carol mentioned, with funding from Ducks and, well, originally from Fish and Wildlife Service through the North American Wildlife Conservation Grant for Ducks Unlimited, we hired this contractor to begin removing this dead vegetation. And this began about a month ago. He's got this very specialized machinery. This is an excavator. It's a normal excavator with two different parts to it. One is the cutting head. So the end of the excavator, instead of being like a bucket, it's you can see it rolling there. It's a very powerful rolling drum with chains and teeth and all kinds of destructive things. You can see what it does to these trees. It doesn't really take much effort or much time to take down these trees. And then the platform are these pontoons, very large, wide, hollow, floating platform, so we can move in the soft, soft environment where it's flooded. He was out there this week during the storm. He's there today. It's very flooded from the overwash, the storm on Tuesday, a couple inches of rain with a 2.5 foot storm surge occurred on Tuesday, and that machine was fine, and he's moving right along. He will be working there into mid-April. There's restrictions on his work there because of rare species concerns, so he has to finish by mid-April. And there will be additional work to complete, and he'll be back next year to do that. So these are the areas within Duck Harbor, and for some administrative reasons with Ducks Unlimited, the area had to be divided into three different contracts. So each of these colored areas is a separate contract. And so right now he's working in the green area. You notice is an area furthest toward the beach on the west side, and also on the extreme other side, this other green area, are part of the same contract. That's why they're the same color. So this area to the right, the eastern side, these are the berms. These are the anthropogenic soil berms that created alongside when the river was channelized, material was thrown off to the side to create these berms. So these are the areas I've talked about before that we intend to remove that material and spread that in lower sided areas of the marsh to restore elevation. So that's part of the land clearing, because we need the vegetation removed in order to collect data, survey data and soil characteristic data. So he's working actually today, he's right on those areas. So that is a priority to get that area done. The area on the other side opposite that is also part of the same project, because we want this is the area closest to the beach where last year piping plovers nested on the overwash fan from the dune. So we want to get that area completed as soon as possible before the birds come back, which is any day now, if not already. He's pretty much completed the area right behind the beach, the areas at the where the birds would be most vulnerable to the activity. There's still some to go there. But he'll be finishing on the extreme side by the berms on the western, the eastern side, the right side of the page, probably by the end of this week. Then we'll move back and finish the other green area behind the beach. And then I think the next area is in the center, the beige area. No, I think that's actually the third area. Then I think the purple area back, it's kind of flip-flopping back and forth here. And then the last area will be the area in the center. And I think that most of the area in the center will probably be left for next year. So there's lots of other photos about this, and there'll be a lot more coming. We're getting in more and more every day. We'll be putting more of this up on our website and other locations as well, and certainly can provide any particular details or areas that people might be interested in. So that's all I had for that, Carol.
Excellent, Tim. Thank you so much. That's really great. And just, you know, Tim noted the video footage, and I just want to also add that there will be video footage of construction activity as well. So that is a contract that is in the works with Friends of Herring River, and there'll be more on that forthcoming. But the idea here is to really document all aspects of this project, the really fascinating work that Tim was just describing in the marsh, as well as the construction activity that's getting underway at the dike. So,
and Carol, if I could just add one more thing, noticing that Katie is on the line here. So we also have, as part of the vegetation removal, a fairly comprehensive research project with Center for Coastal Studies that Katie is taking the lead on. I believe all the paperwork for that is done, approvals and funding and such. Katie, we can touch base about that soon, but there's gonna be a lot of data collection and science to look at both the effect of the overwash and the effects of the vegetation removal, both for Duck Harbor itself, but also to collect data about how that might affect the larger project, the rest of the project area. We're going to be obviously doing similar, you know, tidal restoration, vegetation changes, and things like that. So we think we can learn a lot from what's going on at Duck Harbor now, just by happenstance. This is the timing of this is pretty fortuitous to have all these things line up the way they are. It can teach us a lot about what we can expect when we get into opening the dike at Chiquizet Bridge. Or opening the tie gates at Chiquizet.
Excellent. Thank you, Tim, Katie. All right. So one last project update, another happy new bit of information is I want to welcome Krista Drew, who is the new executive director of Friends of Herring River, to our executive council meeting this afternoon. Krista's been on board for a couple months now, but I think this is your first official executive council meeting, Krista. So welcome, and please, if you want to just introduce yourself or say a few words, that'd be great. Not to put you on the spot if you don't.
Thanks, Carol. I appreciate the opportunity. And hello, everyone. I'm glad to see some of you I've had the chance to meet, and happy to be at least virtually meeting some of you for the first time. Really appreciate your thoughtful participation and stewardship on the executive committee, and look forward to working with you. If you have questions or concerns, I join a strong team of Carol and Christine and our board here at the Friends to try to, you know, answer those and help you stay engaged and informed, and you know, certainly want to continue to be a thoughtful partner in these efforts. I don't have much more to say. I'm just kind of re-entering at this phase, but glad I could catch this meeting for a little bit. So thanks, and thanks, Carol, for the opportunity.
Sure. Thanks, Krista. All right, great. Well, that concludes our project updates. And now the next item on the agenda is member announcements. So if the members have any news or announcements or comments they would like to make, now would be a good time. Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Carol. A couple of announcements from our side of things. So one of the things that we've mentioned before is the demolition project that's going on in the park, and that's funded through funding through the Great America's Outdoor Act. And that project includes two structures within the Herring River on Way 672, the old file house and the old Rosenberg house. So that project is underway. And so those properties are scheduled to come down. I don't have the exact date when that's gonna happen, but we are, they're prioritizing properties right now that are subject to certain restrictions. Those properties are not. So there's a little bit more flexibility there, but those are going to come down pretty soon. So that's great news. And then one other thing that I think it's sort of hot off the presses, but I think it's Brian and I spoke about it, and it sounds like we can mention it, is for those of you who are aware of the Inflation Reduction Act that was passed recently, that provided funding to the National Park Service for certain things. And one of the things that it did was it's allowing us to, it's providing funding for parks to hire certain essential positions to fill gaps in capacity. This isn't necessarily going to be a permanent position, but what we're moving forward with at the park is hiring a term ecologist. And what I mean by term is it's typically a position that lasts around 4 years. So it's not a permanent position, but that position is going to directly support the work that's going on in Herring River and work directly under Tim. And it aligns very nicely with the implementation of restoration. So that position will be on board to conduct monitoring and manage information and provide insight while the initial phases of tidal restoration are ongoing. So that first, everyone probably remembers the initial tide gate management policy for those first 3 years. So that position would align well with that and help us collect information so that we can better inform future tide gate management policy. So that's kind of exciting. And we're hoping to bring that position on, fairly soon, no date yet, but maybe within the next year.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, that's all I have.
Great. That was a lot. Any other announcements from members? Okay. Then the next item on the agenda is public comment. Bill Buwenga, welcome. Bill, you're on mute if you're speaking.
Thanks. First of all, thanks everybody for all the work that you put into this. It's really amazing to see this all coming together. I have a couple thoughts, and one of them is that I think it might be a good idea to add another position on the stakeholders group, one that specializes in the funding and the financing of the project. So that right now we have really some very talented people who represent mosquitoes or turtles or conservation or a variety of other things. And they really do help the larger community. I think everybody in town, as well as the National Park Service, certainly has a stake in the funding, the financing and how the money's coming in and going out and making sure that contractors are paid appropriately and so forth. Now, I don't know who this person would be, whether it's somebody who you already have in mind for one of the other positions that have recently been opened, or if it's somebody who's independent. I'll leave that up to you to figure out who would be a good person for that seat. I do think that there are going to be periodic questions. So when the stakeholders do get back to meeting on a more regular basis, I think it'd be a good idea to have somebody there who can answer the questions on a regular basis. And if we need something, we all know each other and can address those things. I think it winds up helping everybody. So that would be my first thought. And if you'd like to talk to me about it, the executive committee or whatever, I'd be glad to talk to you about that. And the second thing is, just wanted to welcome Krista and suggest, Krista, if you have time and the opportunity, why don't we get together for a cup of coffee or something at your office, or you can come over here where we live, and just to introduce myself and see how we can work together and help each other. Again, thanks everybody for your efforts to date. They've been spectacular.
Thank you, Bill. And just to remind everyone, so I will note that item, and if as we prepare the agenda, we can't address new items here today because they weren't listed on the agenda that was published, but that can be considered for the idea that you raised about the membership of the stakeholder group can be discussed at a future meeting.
Yeah, thank you for that suggestion, Bill.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Is there any other public comment? Okay, well, hearing none. The next item is sort of our wrap up and just recounting our upcoming meeting dates. The next quarterly meeting would be June 15th. I think we have decided these would continue to be virtual meetings, unless that becomes not a possibility under the meeting laws of the Commonwealth. But as far as I know, it still is acceptable. And I just look for any guidance or indication from you if that's something you want to change. But I think it had been discussed that these would continue to be virtual meetings. Okay. So June 15th, September 14th, and then December 14th. And then we would be going back to the 4 o'clock start time. This was a special condition, this meeting, because of a conflicting site visit we had today from a NOAA official that many of the folks on the call were involved with. So appreciate your flexibility on the time today.
Carol, you mean go back to the 3 o'clock?
Yes, I'm sorry if I misspoke. That's what I intended to say. Yes, yeah. Go back to the 3 o'clock start time. Yes. All right, that concludes our agenda. So if you are ready to adjourn, you can do that by consensus, if you wish.
Helen, yes.
Jeff, yes.
Dana, yes.
All right. And it looks unanimous. Great. Well, thank you all very much. And thanks for those who joined us. We'll, I'm sure, be in touch between now and June, but officially meet back here June 15th.
Thank you, Carol, and everybody. Brian, Jeff, Tim.
Yep.
Bye-bye, everybody. Nice to see you on screen.
Bye.